anywhere in the world. And maybe they don't. Maybe they made a choice. Maybe they believe the world has made a choice for them. But their life has wasted away. It's not too late. Kenneth Omer of Faithful Central, thank you. Kenneth Omer would tell you that a saint is a sinner that got up. A saint is a sinner that got up. But you have a special opportunity and a special choice to make some special decisions. What is it going to be? My mother and my father grew up in the South, two of the smartest people you ever met in your life, but they never had a formal education, eighth grade, two of the smartest people you ever want to meet. My dad, 79 years young, little Parkinson's in his right arm, will tell you, don't feel sorry for me. I've lived a good life. I owned a business for 53 years, a cement contracting business. People ask me today, John, how could you get your mind around starting a business at age 10? My response was, it never dawned on me that I couldn't, because I saw my father do it. The owners in here know that the very definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who works 18 hours a day to keep from getting a job. So, my dad's a special man, never told me he loved me until I was probably 30. I used to blame him for all that he didn't do without realizing that it wasn't what he didn't do for me, it was all that he did do for me that was important, because my dad actually showed up in my life. My mother, Diva, my mother, not conceited, convinced, my mother, bad sister, she told me she loved me every day of my life. You know how powerful it is for a child to be told that he or she is loved? It's amazingly empowering. And so my mother decided she was going to show her love in new and different ways. I grew up in Compton, California, South Central LA. So I'm in Compton, I'm 10 years old, and my mother decides she's going to dress me funny. I don't mean funny as in cool, or even nice. I mean funny as in, well, funny. You see, when I was growing up, everybody had brown khakis with creases down both sides. Oh, I'm sorry, nobody here remembers that era. It must be just me. And the pants were so tight, they stand up in the corner all by themselves. I wanted to dress like that, because that supposedly was what cool was. My mother decided to put me in a three-piece. Crushed velvet. Purple. Velour suit, visualize, with a ruffled shirt. I'm not finished. And a big, 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 big bow tie. And my mama sent me to school in Compton. Dressed like that. You know, it'd be different if you opened up and the suit said Giorgio Armani, you know, Calvin Klein. I even settled for Sean John. But no! When you opened the lapel of this suit, it said designed by Nita. My mama's name. It's one Nita Smith. She made these ugly suits and sent me to school in Compton. I got my natural rear end whipped every single day. Kids thought he has to have money. Why else would he dress like that? I was so broke I couldn't pay attention. I didn't understand why a mother would do this to her child. I loved my mother. I wanted a child. I loved her. I couldn't understand what the Bible says, well, there is no vision to people. My mother understood that groups don't succeed, individuals do. You see, when you started dress funny, then you began to walk a little funny. The suit on your chest comes out just a little bit. And I remember I used to sell Stacy Adams shoes on mail order. I don't know if anybody remembers Stacy Adams shoes, right? And then I had a briefcase. I'm not in it, but I had a briefcase I'd take to school with me. And then I began to think differently. And I saw kids walking past my house, detouring up to the liquor store to buy candy and being late for school. I thought, it's a travesty before God to have my friends getting pink slips. And besides that, I'm going to make a buck. So I went to my mother and I borrowed $40. And we went to Iris. Well, first of all, I went to the liquor store and told him he's selling the wrong kind of candy. He said, go away, little boy. I know what I'm doing. I'm selling a lot of candy. I said, well, that's nice, sir, but I've got cavities. I'm telling you, you're selling the wrong kind of candy. He said, I'm doing just fine. I said, sir, you have no competition. So he hired me as a box boy to shut me up for 2 weeks. I stayed there long enough to learn, listen now, to how to buy wholesale and sell retail, and then I quit. Went to borrow the $40 from my mother, went to Iris Food Store in Compton, still there today. They said, oh, nice little boy, must be a school pride. Just gave me some free racks. I bought some candy, ate through half the inventory. I hate candy to this day. Sold the other half the inventory, had enough money to go back and buy an entire new inventory. Just shows you how profitable it was. Neighborhood candy house, 10 years of age, I made $300 a week. Then I found girls and lost the business, been a recurring theme in my life, but why I got married. My mother knew that there are three types of people, like three types of birds. There are eagles, there are buzzards, and there are turkeys. And eagles don't fly in packs. You've never seen a flock of eagles. The eagles are high altitude birds. They're not arrogant. They're not pompous. But there's a dignity about an eagle. There's a regalness about an eagle. An eagle even raises their children differently. You see, an eagle's nest is filled with sharp little twigs. Message. If you get big enough, well, you're pushing up against the inside of that nest, you better get up and go get a job. Talk about you 49 years old living with your mama. I didn't know what y'all gonna get today, did you? And then you've got buzzards. Buzzards love packs. Buzzards are low altitude birds. Buzzards are always player hating, never player congratulating. Always have something negative to say about somebody. Always got a frown on their face. Take 7 muscles to smile and 35 muscles to frown, and are experts at being miserable. Who does he think he is? Why is he up there? It's amazing to me, the people who specialize in being miserable every single day, step on your head to elevate themselves. And then you've got the worst kind of bird. The worst kind of bird is a turkey. The turkey's got wings and can't even fly. All they do is profile. Look familiar? Trying to be something they are not. Translation. Parking your leased Cadillac on the front lawn of your rented apartment building. In 1992, tell you how the power of all this comes together. We had a riot in this city. Worst urban unrest in U.S. history. Want to make God laugh? Tell him your plan. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to start a cancer foundation. You know who starts a cancer foundation? Somebody who got cancer, or whose mother or father or wife or sister or brother got cancer. The lady who created Mothers Against Drunk Driving didn't just wake up one day and said, I want to help somebody. She had a problem with God already. And then when her little girl was killed by a drunk driver, she was completely through. You want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. And then she finally said, okay, help me find something positive in this. Her emotion turned into passion. She created Mothers Against Drunk Driving to save the lives of millions of children today. Did her daughter die in vain? I'm sorry, I'm from a black church. Did her daughter die in vain? So in 1992, you have this riot and you ask yourself, what positive can come out of this? You cannot have a rainbow without a storm first, a scientific fact. And so I decided to found America's first nonprofit social investment bank. And people laughed at me. I was 26 years young, and they dismissed me. It's a wonderful thing to be dismissed. One employee, $61,000 budget, and a vision to change the world and to eradicate poverty, and everybody laughed at me and said it would never work. Today, Operation Hope has an $8 million operating budget, 250 partners, banks, insurance companies, credit unions, with assets of $3.6 trillion between them, 100 CEOs on our boards of directors in 12 states, 15 cities, and the District of Columbia. 9 divisions of our work focus on converting check cashing customers into banking customers, renters into homeowners, small business dreamers into small business owners, minimum wage workers into living wage workers with new job skills, moving people up and out of poverty, because we're not dumb and we're not stupid. It's what we don't know that we don't know that's killing us. You say, well, where's the results of all of this work? We funded $130 million in loans, creating 1,000 black and brown homeowners in South Central and East LA. And not one home loan has gone bad in 10 years. We built Hope Center across the street from a McDonald's on La Brea, across the bank branch in a Kinko's for empowerment. One-stop shopping but changing your life. In 2002, became the first nonprofit in history to build a bank branch and sell it to a bank. We hosted 2 U.S. presidents in 1 week, April 24th and April 29th, 2002. Hosted President Clinton in Harlem. Went into a classroom to teach children financial literacy. We taught 143,000 children checking, savings, credit, investment, and the history of banking, because we live in an economic era, teaching them 35 kids at a time. Because we went into a classroom with President Clinton, our first black president, and to commit to educate every child in Harlem in 5 years in financial literacy. And then we hosted President Bush in South Central LA. You might remember it being on the news. Of course, somebody had something to say about me hosting President Bush. And I said this in response. My community's in a crisis. So I don't really care whether you're black or white, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal. If you want to help me eradicate poverty in my community, you are my friend. And if you don't, you are wasting my time. PhDs are good, PhDs are better. And ladies and gentlemen, there's not 6 presidents, there's not 3 presidents, there's 1 president, and you better be talking to him. If you have an opportunity to do something like that in this world, you should be all over it like a cheap suit. And so here's my 5-year goal, because you can't eradicate poverty on partisan lines. I want to talk to everybody. We will educate 5 million children in financial literacy. We will fund $1 billion of home ownership for our people. A hand up, not a handout. We will recruit 1,000 companies to support our movement. We will recruit 25,000 volunteers. I'd love to see some of you to go in a classroom with me to teach financial literacy. And we will spark a move in this country around financial literacy, economic education, and poverty eradication. Now let me bring this home and tell you what we need to go from here. and why this is an investment in you and not a gift to you. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I have low self-esteem. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let me bring this home. If the civil rights movement, the 20th century, was about race and the color line all over the world, from South Africa to South America to the southern states, race and the color line are civil rights. And if civil rights, the first civil right was the right to vote, then the 21st century is going to be about issues of class and poverty, what I call silver rights. And the first silver right of the 21st century will be financial literacy. There's not a welfare mother in this country in her right mind that does not want her child to go to be successful, intelligent, hardworking, and taxpaying, and for no other reason than to feel proud of them. But you can't give what you don't have in a blind town, a one-eyed man's king. If you don't know better, you cannot do better. It's what you don't know that you don't know that's killing you. More people filed for bankruptcy in 2002 than graduated from college. The number one cause of divorce in America? Money. The largest group of bankruptcy filers in America? Youth between 18 and 24. Think about it. Just anybody who says poor black people, those aren't black people, unfortunately. Those are middle class white college students getting a master's degree in psychology, an undergraduate degree in bankruptcy, paying for their pizza with a credit card, leave a check as a form of credit, and calling home to their parents for more money. Now we're gonna change that because we're sending all y'all to college. But understand this, we're living in a moment in history. Dr. King said in 1968, you cannot legislate goodness, and you cannot pass a law to force someone to respect you. That the only way to social justice in a capitalist country is through economic parity. That was 1968. The lady who whispered in his ear was Marion Wright Edelman of the Children's Defense Fund to tell him the next movement was gonna be about money. Women have always been the backbone of the movement, by the way. Don't get it twisted. Not the credit, but the strength. Fast forward. I'm sitting with Ambassador Andrew Young, our new national spokesman. Oh boy, how humbling that was. What an incredible man. And he said to me, John, Martin and I, he can say Martin, I say Dr. King, Martin and I succeeded in integrating the lunch counter, the public building, and the public school, but never the dollar. And he said if Martin was alive today, this would be the work he would be doing. That this is the next step in our march to end poverty in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not here for a luncheon, for a gathering of scholarship recipients. This is the staging ground for the next movement in this country. On April 12th, Ambassador Young and I were sitting in Atlanta as he launches a day of hope to move, as he calls, from civil rights to silver rights and the dawning of a new movement in America. Can you join me in this movement? I'm sorry, let me try that again. It must be me. Can you join me in this movement? Because you need to be educated and you need to be prepared. You can't just have good intentions. You gotta be ready to suit up for this movement. This will not be by revolution, it'll be by evolution. But let me say to you, if nothing that I've said to you speaks to you, if I've wasted your time, I am so sorry if I have disappointed you in any way. Blame it on my head, not my heart. Let me say this, if I've spoken none of you no truth to your heart today, you don't get any credit from God for being a nice person. You don't get any credit for being pleasant, for putting food on the table, for meeting your home obligations, for raising your children, for showing up to work on time. You're supposed to do these things. But Chris Rock once said that a guy came up to him and said, well, I ain't never been to jail. He said, you're not supposed to go to jail. So you want a cookie? You wanted credit for it. You don't get credit for doing what you're supposed to do. You only get credit from God for helping other people. And I don't know about you, but I want a spiritual platinum card with no limit on it. Thank you, and may God bless you.